Well, the owners of Starbucks managed to arrange a meeting with the Pope at the Vatican. After receiving the papal blessing, the Starbucks official whispered, "Your Holiness, we have an offer for you. Starbucks is prepared to donate $100 million to the church if you change the Lord's Prayer from 'Give us this day our daily bread' to 'Give us this day our daily coffee.'" The Pope responds, "That is impossible. The prayer is the word of God. It must not be changed." "Well," said the Starbucks man, "we anticipated your reluctance. For this reason, we will increase our offer to $300 million. "My son, it is impossible. For the prayer is the word of God. It must not be changed." The Starbucks guy said, "Your Holiness, we at Starbucks respect your adherence to the faith. But we do have one final offer. We will donate $500 million, that's $500 million, to the great Catholic Church if you would only change the Lord's Prayer from 'Give us this day our daily bread' to 'Give us this day our daily coffee.' Please consider it." And he leaves. The next day, the Pope convened the College of Cardinals. "There is some good news," he announces, "and some bad news. The good news is that the church will come into $500 million. And the bad news, Your Holiness," asked the Cardinal, "we're losing the Wonder Bread account." Well, the Holy Eucharist is truly the bread of wonders. As I shared a couple weeks ago, all those Eucharistic miracles, the Eucharist is the bread of wonders, the bread of miracles. And we can see in today's gospel, Jesus reaffirms this teaching. He says, "I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the desert, but they died. But whoever eats this bread will live forever." So take a look at today's gospel from St. John. It is, of course, John chapter 6. We'll be with John chapter 6 for a few more weeks. And the Lord has been teaching about his real presence in the Holy Eucharist, that he himself is the bread of life. Remember, just before Jesus gave this teaching, he did two things. He multiplied the loaves and fish, showing everyone he had power over material things, such as bread. And then he walked on the water, showing he had power over his body. And now he teaches that he himself is the living bread. Notice he worked those two miracles to show he had power over his body and over bread by multiplying the loaves and fish and then by walking on the water. And he did this to prepare the minds and hearts of the crowd that he was going to be speaking the truth, that he himself is the bread of life. And the crowd objected, of course, because he said, "I am the bread of life, come down from heaven." See, that's a claim to be divine. That's a claim of divinity. He's claiming to come down from heaven. He's claiming to be divine, the Son of God. And the crowd can't accept it. They say, "How did he come down from heaven? We know his family. He was very familiar with them. He was very ordinary to them. How could he claim to come down from heaven?" Well, this is a good lesson for us as well. Do we take the Eucharist for granted? Or have we become too familiar with the Holy Eucharist, with the Blessed Sacrament? Has it become too ordinary for us? Do we forget that the Holy Eucharist is truly the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? And remember, Jesus Christ is God. He is the Son of God. And when Jesus Christ spoke those words at the Last Supper, "This is my body, this is the cup of my blood," because Jesus is God, his words take effect, and the bread and wine truly became Jesus. See, that's why I believe in the Eucharist. When I look at sacred scripture and I read John chapter 6, it reaffirms our belief in the Holy Eucharist. When you listen to the words at the Last Supper, Jesus could have said, "This reminds you of my body, this symbolizes my body, this represents my body." Jesus didn't say that. He said, "This is my body. This is the cup of my blood." Because Jesus is God, I believe that when he said those words, it took effect. And he cannot lie. God can neither deceive nor be deceived. How could he say, this is my body, when it's not his body? How could he say, this is the chalice of my blood, when it was not? So Jesus is God. He is truth itself. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So when Jesus spoke, the bread listened. When Jesus spoke, the wine listened. These things became truly his body, blood, soul, and divinity. So that's why I believe in the Holy Eucharist, because of the words of Jesus at the Last Supper, because of John chapter 6, where again and again he said those words, I am the bread of life, come down from heaven. In this beautiful church of ours, notice that the words from today's gospel are written right up there in Latin. Take a look if you can see, I am the bread of life, come down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and the bread I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. So that quote is from today's gospel. And it's from the Gospel of John, of course. Jesus says, I am the living bread. He's not dead. Jesus is living, truly present in the Blessed Sacrament, body, blood, soul, and divinity. I've come down from heaven. He again reminds us that he is divine. He is the Son of God. And notice he says, whoever eats this bread will live forever. That's why the Eucharist is called the pledge of immortality. The Eucharist is the bread of immortality. It is the source of strength for us. Notice in that first reading with the prophet Elijah, he was told, take and eat, or else the journey will be too much for you. Well, the same is true for us Christians. The Eucharist is our daily bread. It is our daily food to nourish us on our journey to the promised land of heaven, or else the journey will be too difficult for us. So the Holy Eucharist is our spiritual nourishment, our spiritual food. When a person receives their last Holy Communion, it is called viaticum, which is the Latin words, the Latin translation is food for the journey. And so not only is our last Holy Communion the food for our journey to heaven, but every Holy Communion is the food for our journey to heaven. So every day when we receive the Lord, at least every Sunday, perhaps even during the week if we can, this is our food for the journey. Jesus gives us himself to nourish us, to strengthen us, and to help us to become like him. And that's the reason why we receive Jesus, is because we do become what we eat. We become more like Jesus the more often we receive him in the state of grace, in the state of friendship with God. The Eucharist is the source of strength as well. If you ever read the lives of the martyrs, those like St. Lawrence that were burned alive on a gridiron, or those that were crucified or thrown to the lions, what they wanted to receive before their death was the Holy Eucharist, because they knew that was going to be their strength in order to be a witness for Christ. The Holy Eucharist was the food of the martyrs. It was the food of the saints, and this strengthened them to be able to die for Christ and to witness for Christ. So what a beautiful gospel we have here today, where Jesus again reminds himself that he is the bread of life. So we should never take the Lord for granted. We should never become too familiar with the Blessed Sacrament to lose our sense of wonder and awe about that. A few years before John Paul II died, St. John Paul II, he wrote a beautiful letter in which he said we should always have what he called Eucharistic amazement. We should always be amazed at the Eucharist. We should always be in awe and respect and wonder for the real presence of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. And when I was a little kid, I think one of the nuns gave us a little encouragement. And she said, always receive every Holy Communion that you receive as if it were your first Holy Communion, as if it were your last Holy Communion, as if it were your only Holy Communion. See, if we did that, we would never lose our respect and reverence for the Blessed Sacrament. May every one of our Holy Communions be as if it was our first, our last and our holy and our only Holy Communion. And always receive the Lord in the state of grace, in the state of sanctifying grace. If we need to go to confession, if you have any serious sins on your soul, go to confession first and then come to receive Jesus in the Eucharist. Make sure you only receive him in the state of sanctifying grace. And there's a beautiful prayer that I found that says, "My Jesus, I believe that you are truly present in the most blessed sacrament. I love you above all things, and I desire to possess you within my soul. I believe it because you have said it, and I am ready to give my life to maintain this truth."